The Progressive Commentary Hour with Gary Null, Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome you to this program. We're here to empower people. Each week at this time, I present a series of commentaries by the most progressive minds in the world. These are commentaries you will not be hearing on alternative media, left or right media, not television and not radio. I believe that they are relevant. I'm going to be sharing them with you, and then asking you to call in and share your points of view after each one. I try to select a different mix, and each week something different. Today, children exploited for profit using fictional mental disorders, by Monica Young. Then Bill Quigley, Bush Insider reveals Guantanamo deception. The majority of those jailed at Guantanamo Bay were innocent, and the president and all the people around him knew it. James Ridgway, has America become a nation of psychotics? You'd certainly think so based upon the medications we're taking. Iraqi children bear the costs of war, from Caesar Chalela. Why is it that we have not seen any productions from any embedded journalist in Iraq on American television showing what the impact of our intervention has done to them, to their lives? From Ari Berman in The Nation magazine, The Dirt on Clean Coal. The coal industry presents itself as committed to environmental sustainability. They have bought Barack Obama. And now we are told clean coal is real. No, it is not. A follow-up to that, Gag Me with Clean Coal by Karen Strickler. And rounding it out, time permitting, Chemtrails from Dr. Sandra Pelagiria. The consequences of toxic metals and chemical aerosols on human health. I have written many commentaries myself over the weekend, and time permitting, I'll have a chance to share a few. Also, Joanne Harry on The Wrong Kind of Green, how conservation groups are bargaining away our future by accepting money from these people. So we have a lot to share. Let us begin. And after each one, I'll ask you to call in and share your points of view. Our call-in number all over North America is 888-874-4888. As many of you know, I have written extensively on what I believe is the complete fiction of mental disorders. In point of fact, there is not a single scientific study ever done in any gold standards that shows that your schizophrenia or that your bipolar condition or psychotic condition is a brain chemical imbalance. But yet every single day on television, millions of Americans are sold the idea that the moods they're in is a chemical brain imbalance, and therefore by taking a particular drug, they will be relieved of that. That's one area that they have focused on. But also they have focused upon our children. I'm now filming on location, and one of the films I am doing is a new film on the pathologizing of life. This is a very important subject because it shows that we serve no purpose in our current society except as economic slaves. And the most vulnerable in our society, children, are the ones being exploited constantly by special interest groups. Now, we're ashamed that exploitation of children for profit was once tolerated in America, such as children as young as 5 years of age, literally shackled to machines while working 16-hour days in factories, or black children auctioned and sold as slaves. Yet future generations, I believe, will look back on our era also with shame, a time when labeling kids with fictitious mental disorders and then hooking them on drugs with multi-billion dollar businesses. About 10% of all children in the United States, and that's about 8 million, are said to have attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, a mental illness treated with drugs. However, a recent study blows a wide hole in that myth. A team of Dutch researchers took 100 unmedicated children diagnosed with ADHD and fed half of them a really good diet, a diet that had no processed foods and no known allergens. The other half served as control. Within 5 weeks, 64% of those in the test group saw remarkable changes. Quote, after the diet, they were just normal children with normal behavior, unquote, said lead researcher Dr. Libby Pelser. Quote, they were no longer more easily distracted. They were no more forgetful. They were no more temper tantrums, unquote. Dr. Pelser explained, quote, ADHD is just a couple of symptoms. It's not a disease. There is a paradigm shift needed. If a child is diagnosed with ADHD, we should say, okay, we have got those symptoms. Now let's start looking for a cause. With all children, we should start with diet research. But now we are giving them all drugs, and I think it's a huge mistake. For those who have been listening, I've conducted more than 47 clinical studies, all based upon lifestyle and behavior modification. In one of those studies, we had a group of parents with children. All of the children had been diagnosed with ADHD and were on meds. They were told that it was a brain chemical imbalance and diet had nothing to do with it, that it was genetic. Within 3 months, over 80% of children who were given a healthy diet, detoxed, given meditative techniques, were considered normal and were no longer on their meds. But because that information fell outside of official science and therefore was not officially reported in any news media or in any scientific journal, but it doesn't negate the fact that it actually happened. And that every day people are improving. In fact, a brand new study just out today says that new autism twin study demolishes decades-long belief in genetic causation. This is from Marx Blaxall, and it says the following. For over two decades now, the so-called autism experts have been claiming that autism is more than 90% caused by genes. The influence of these claims on autism policy and research funding is hard to overstate. Virtually all the money on autism has gone into genetic testing and hard pharmaceutical drugs in order to treat them. But few realize that the basis of these claims hangs on a very fragile piece of evidence base. Two small twin studies, one from Great Britain, the other from Scandinavia, that reported high rates of concordance for autism among identical twins and no concordance at all among fraternal twins. Well, right now, as I'm speaking with you, the largest and most rigorous twin study ever conducted, the California Autism Twin Study, reported contradictory new evidence that struck a devastating blow to these claims. The California Autism Twin Study had identical twins, and they had lower, and the fraternal twins higher concordance rates than past studies. A striking finding that suggests that instead of being highly based upon genes and in our heritage, the vast majority of autism cases stems from environmental causes. Now, mind you, it's hard to overstate the importance of these findings. What this means in lay language is that all of these autism experts, they've been wrong completely for decades. And everything leading autism parent advocates have been saying, they have been right. That when they said that their children got one or more vaccines and they were normal up to that point, then they became no longer normal, they were right. So for those who say it couldn't be the vaccines, it's genetic, they were wrong. And now for the first time, we have a major study showing that they were wrong. Now, as that study will end up making its way sooner or later, I hope, into wider venues, now consider this. How many children and parents were told, your ADHD is genetic, just as they did with autism? They won't attach the poor diet, the food additives, the coloring agents, the emulsifiers, the plasticizers, the anti-foaming agents, the binders, the additives. They won't lay blame for attention disorder on that. A child staying up at night, a teenager, listening on the cell phone and working with a computer, both affecting the brain, both affecting the hormones in the brain, both affecting the amount of melatonin secreted by the pineal gland that would allow that child a normal night's sleep and hence good focus in the morning. Now the child has a diminishment of melatonin, does not get a good night's sleep, is forced to wake up in the morning, and then takes caffeine in order to have any energy. The caffeine lasts about an hour and starts to wear off right in the middle of their first class. So they can't focus. They're irritated. There's a lack of energy. There's a lack of mitochondria or little energy factories in the brain that are able to flash enough adenosine triphosphate, the chemical that allows you to actually have energy to keep you focused. So your mind drifts. The teacher sees your mind drifting. You're not remembering things. You're not paying attention. You're fidgeting. Ah, ADHD. So let us understand this. Over two decades, drugs and antipsychiatric industries have bombarded schools and parents and doctors, the media and government with propaganda that ADHD is a medical condition that must be managed with drugs. But let us now for a moment dissect this. And by the way, these are strong drugs they're given. Most ADHD diagnosed kids are prescribed Ritalin, and that can cause nausea, insomnia, liver damage, heart failure, hallucinations, convulsions, violent behavior, suicidal thoughts, and sudden death. In fact, the U.S. Drug Enforcement Agency categorizes these as Schedule II drugs. That's the same class as cocaine and opium. First, pharmaceutical and psychiatric literature and ads and advocates typically claim ADHD kids have brain dysfunctions or brain chemical imbalances and that it's genetically based, while also simultaneously, in a completely contradictory way, saying the cause is unknown and no lab test can detect it. Hello? As no lab test can detect it and its cause is unknown, then how can they scientifically link it to brain malfunction and chemical imbalances or genetic influence? They cannot. They have been lying, pathologically lying, nonstop. Next, they say a doctor's diagnosis relies on the child's response to questions, the family's descriptions of behavior problems in the school assessment. Hello? Can you imagine a doctor diagnosing cancer without lab test, or diagnosing diabetes and prescribing insulin injections based upon a family member's report, or putting a boy's leg in a cast due to a teacher's assessment that the teacher thinks or knows that it's broken and you not test it? We call such a doctor fraud, and they should have their license revoked. Well, that would be most of the doctors. They say symptoms include impulsivity, dashing around, difficulty focusing on one thing, avoiding activities that are boring, squirming, talking excessively, and finding it difficult to play quietly. And did I miss something growing up as a baby boomer? Aren't those the symptoms that you would expect of every kid growing up? As an adult, do you avoid activities that are boring? I bet you do. When you don't feel comfortable about something, do you squirm? Do you know people that are very talkative, very chatty, and it's just their nature? And others who are more shy and quiet? Those are not diseases. Those are not chemical imbalances. Those are personality traits. And they also say that a child with ADHD are more pronounced than another kids of the same age. In other words, this isn't medical science, it's opinion. Plus, they omit or enormously downplay the factor of diet. And here's the clincher. They say ADHD cannot be cured, but its symptoms can be managed with medications. So there you have it. It's clearly a marketing scheme to target children and create lifelong customers for psychiatric drug industry. And I think that's unfortunate. One of the world's most influential child psychiatrists, a so-called expert proponent of ADHD for years, has been Harvard's Dr. Joseph Bitterman. He's published hundreds of papers on ADHD and drug treatments, and is one of the most cited researchers on the subject. In 2009, a congressional inquiry revealed that between 2000 and 2007, Dr. Bitterman earned $1.6 million in consulting fees from drug makers. It appears Dr. Bitterman has acute greed disorder. Just as our country has defeated and outlawed child exploitation in the past, I believe that all of psychiatry today, as it is practiced through drug therapy, is a fraud, and the drugging of our children must be abolished. I'm Gary Nall. That's our first commentary. Your turn. Give us a call at 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Back in a moment with our second commentary. Please stay with us.
Progressive Radio Network, your number one source for progressive commentary.
Hello, this is Deborah Wolf, best-selling author and award-winning radio host of Animal Magnet Pet Radio. You can listen live to me every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern for the best pet radio in America, Canada, and beyond. Hard-hitting pet issues, animal news, training tips, tricks, games, and quirky pet trivia, plus the A-list pet guests each week. Or listen anytime to past shows at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. Listen to this show so you can be good to your animals.
Gary Nall. I've been on radio for 37 years, every day, and I'm pleased that the Progressive Radio Network exists, because this is the one forum that brings together some of the most important, probing, creative, and dynamic minds on the planet. Join us each and every day, 24/7, on the Progressive Radio Network, your home for independent thinking. welcome all of you. I'm Gary Knoll. We have a lot of commentaries to share with you, and at any time after a commentary, if you'd like to call in and address any of these, please feel free to do so. We'd like to hear from you. And that's one of the reasons I do this. These are issues that you're not going to hear discussed, but are very important. Well, look at it this way. What is more important? Everyone just can't get over talking about this trial that finished, and everyone's talking about Rupert Murdoch. Every single thing that you hear in the media is the same from all points of view. But what about our children that are committing suicide and acts of violence? And how many of our children are morbidly obese or have diabetes? And how many people die every day whose conditions could be prevented or looked at alternatively? How many of our rights are being eroded every day? Yet nothing in the media about this. That's why this is important. And this next one is very important, but I want to go first over and say hello to Bobby from New Jersey. Hi, Bobby. You're on.
How you doing this evening, Gary?
Doing great. Thank you.
Okay. One of the things that I was curious about, because sometime back you gave a number of shows on vaccinations, and I wanted to know, is it possible that you can get preferably sickle cell from a vaccination or be diagnosed with sickle cell early on as a child? Notwithstanding, doctor doesn't know what they're giving you.
Okay, Bobby, a couple things. First, the answer is no. You can't get sickle cell from a vaccine. Yes, you can be diagnosed early with that. And I have done a number of programs on vaccines. They are on our website. And I've done over 15 articles, major, original, in-depth investigative reporting articles in the last 16 months. They're all on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. And there we simply challenge the prevailing dogmas that they say vaccines are safe and effective. We say, prove it. We've seen your science. It is shoddy. It is not scientific proof. And therefore, one more reason that we should be critical is because the very people who are selling our kids through the schools and our parents the ADHD drugs, like Ritalin, are also manufacturing, the same companies are manufacturing the vaccines. So it's all about the money. It is not about public health. In fact, last week I did a show showing that when we stop child labor practices, when we close down the 8,000 cellar dwellings in Manhattan, just in one small area of Manhattan on the Lower East Side, in the early 1900s, they would sometimes have as many as 20 people, generally migrants, living in a cellar. No heat, no water, no sanitation. They would pass a pot around. People would use the bathroom in the pot and then throw it in the street. They had no sanitation cleanup for the area. Well, needless to say, you had high diseases, including infectious diseases, including tuberculosis. It was not an anti-tubercular vaccine that ended this. It was getting politicians in place and public advocacy to end child labor, to clean up this squalid type of living, to clean up the water supply and sterilize it, to insist upon milk being pasteurized so tuberculosis doesn't pass through in the milk, etc. So the real reason that we ended all major illnesses was because of public health measures. We documented this and then went back through mortal statistics charts from each country, England, Italy, France, Japan, Ireland, the United States, and showed that prior to any vaccine being introduced, prior, the disease to which it was being associated was 96 to 99% gone. So the people today who want to tell you that we only overcame major health care act epidemics because of this are simply lying. All right? Or they're very stupid. Or both. Thank you, Bobby. I appreciate your call. Now let's go on to the next subject. And this is one I'm hopeful many of you will feel concerned enough that you'll call in and share your point of view. This is from Bill Quigley from Common Dreams. It's short, but important. Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, Chief of Staff to Secretary of State Colin Powell, provided shocking new testimony from inside the Bush administration that hundreds of the men jailed at Guantanamo were innocent. The top people in the Bush administration knew full well they were innocent, and that information was kept from the public. Wilkerson said President Bush, Vice President Cheney, Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld, quote, indefinitely detained the innocent for political reasons. And many in the administration knew it. The wrongfully held prisoners were not released because of political maneuverings aimed in part to cover up the mistakes of the administration. Colonel Wilkerson, who served in the U.S. Army for over 30 years, signed a sworn declaration for an Oregon federal court case stating that he found out in August 2002 that the U.S. knew that many of the prisoners at Guantanamo were not enemy combatants. Wilkerson also discussed, that was 2003, Wilkerson Aldous also discussed, this is a revealing and critical article on Guantanamo for the Washington Note. How did Colonel Wilkerson first learn about the innocents in Guantanamo? In August 2002, Wilkerson, who had been working closely with Colin Powell for years, was appointed Chief of Staff to the Secretary of State. In that position, Wilkerson started attending daily classified briefings involving 50 or more of the top State Department officials where Guantanamo was often discussed. It soon became clear to him and other State Department personnel, quote, that many of the prisoners detained at Guantanamo had been taken into custody without regard to whether they were truly enemy combatants or, in fact, whether many of them were enemies at all, unquote. How was it possible that hundreds, if not the vast majority, of Guantanamo prisoners were innocent? Wilkerson said it all started at the beginning, mostly because U.S. forces did not capture most of the people who were sent to Guantanamo. The people who ended up in Guantanamo, said Wilkerson, were mostly turned over to the U.S. by Afghan warlords and others who received an average of $5,000 per head for each person they turned in. The majority of the 742 detainees, quote, had never seen a U.S. soldier in the process of their initial detention. Military officers told Wilkerson that, quote, many detainees were turned over for the wrong reasons, particularly for bounties and other incentives, that the likelihood was high that some of the Guantanamo detainees had been turned into the U.S. forces in order to settle local scores for tribal reasons or just as a method of making money, and the U.S. knew it. As a consequence, Wilkerson said, quote, there was no real method of knowing why the prisoner had been detained in the first place. Wilkerson wrote that the American people have no idea of the, quote, utter incompetence of the battlefield vetting in Afghanistan during the initial stages. Simply stated, no meaningful attempt at discrimination was made in country by competent officers, civilian or military, as to who we were transporting to Cuba for detention and interrogation, unquote. Why was there utter incompetence in the battlefield vetting? This was a factor of having too few troops in the combat zone, the troops and civilians who were there having too few people trained and skilled in such vetting, and the incredible pressure coming down from the Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld and others to, quote, just get the bastards to the interrogators, unquote. As a result, Wilkerson's statements continues, quote, there was no meaningful way to determine whether they were terrorists, Taliban, or simply innocent civilians picked up on a very confused battlefield or in the territory of another state such as Pakistan. In addition, the statement points out, quote, a separate but related problem was that often absolutely no evidence relating to the detainee was ever turned over, so there was no real method of knowing why the prisoner had been detained in the first place. The initial group of 742 detainees had not been detained under the processes that I used to be as a military officer. It was becoming more and more clear that many of the men were innocent, where at the minimum their guilt was impossible to determine, let alone prove in any court of law, civilian or military. Yet there was no evidence, the chain of protecting it had been completely ignored, unquote. Now, the leadership in the United States became aware of this early on and knew, quote, of the reality that many of the detainees were innocent of any substantial wrongdoing, had little intelligence value, and should be immediately released, unquote. So why did the Bush administration not release the men from prison once it was discovered they were not guilty? Why continue to keep innocent men in prison? Quote, to have admitted this reality would have been a black mark on their leadership from virtually day one of the so-called war on terror, and these leaders already had black marks enough. The dead in the field in Pennsylvania, in the ashes of the Pentagon, and in the ruins of World Trade Center. They were not about to admit to their future errors at Guantanamo Bay. Better to claim everyone there was a hardcore terrorist, was an enduring intelligence value, and would return to jihad if released. I'm very sorry to say that I believe there were uniformed military who aided and abetted these falsehoods, even at the highest levels of our armed forces. The refusal to let innocent detainees go, even those who were likely innocent, but based on several political factors, were not. If the U.S. released them to another country, that country found them innocent. It would make the U.S. look bad. Another concern was that the detention efforts at Guantanamo would be revealed as the incredibly confused operation that it was. Such results would not be acceptable to the administration. And that's it. Of course, who has been constantly harping that Guantanamo should be even stricter and everything done at Guantanamo is legitimate? Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly and others. Your thoughts, please. I'd like for you to discuss this and your points of view. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. We'll talk about this and other issues, and then we'll have James Ridgway. Has America become a nation of psychotics? You'd certainly think so based on the medications we're taking. That coming up. Please stay with us back in a moment after we get some people on the line and share their points of view. Calls lined up. We'll get to some of them right now. Let's say hello to Jasmine from Michigan. Hi, Jasmine.
Hi, Gary. Thanks for taking my call. I guess the thought that I've had today after this commentary and after the show you did earlier today is that are there other countries that have a better moral quality of government than the United States, and would you recommend moving to another country?
Not yet. Yes, we are a fascist country. Yes, we have oligarchs. We have people who are beyond the law. If you listen to last week and the week before show, I gave you an entire history of how families intermarried and brought their mutual corporate entities together to form great trusts, like Standard Oil of Ohio, the Rockefellers, and how they helped found the Rockefeller Foundation and later would sponsor genetic engineering through Rockefeller University and the Green Revolution, which devastated India and caused hundreds of millions to suffer. And how Goldman Sachs, there was Goldman and there was Sachs, and Lerner and Loeb, you had all these people who intermarried and then brought together the power of what is the power of eight. There's only eight families, that's it, eight families who are so powerful, so politically connected, that behind the scenes they can control debt, they can control prices and commodities, they can control the flow of money and the value of money. And by doing this, they are able, in whatever for whatever true motive they have, and I'm not aware of that, I can only talk about what I can prove, they get some form of satisfaction because they continue to use this. No different than Bill Gates. You would think that he would at least have one progressive-minded person that he would speak to. I am not aware of any that he has around him, nor does Obama have any around him, nor did Clinton around him, nor Bush around him, nor the people on Wall Street around them. And so you see how it goes. So what we can do today in the United States, at least be honest about what we are, how we function, the fact that we'll put all this energy into the guilt or innocence of this woman whose child died. The jury said that she did not kill the child but lied about its death. We will never know the full truth, but that's what our jury system said. Fox couldn't stand that because they had already found her guilty on the air. She was guilty. The fact that she was still in the process of defending herself for the case being made against her was irrelevant, because in America today, if you're rich, if you're famous, if you're powerful, and you're arrested, you're guilty, no matter what. Just like Strauss, the head of the International Monetary Fund. Not once did anyone challenging him ever look at what was far more important than him having consensual sex with a woman. And his charges will be dropped within the next couple of weeks because it was shown that she's a pathological liar. And she should be arrested for perjuring herself. But the idea is that not a single word was written about the International Monetary Fund and how many people have died because of them, starved to death, how many countries no longer have any natural resources because it's been privatized, their roads, their gas, their oil, their precious land has been taken away to pay the compounded interest of the International Monetary Fund. Now, who are the International Monetary Fund? Well, different governments and banks. Who will control those banks? The same families. Who controls the Federal Reserve? The same families. Who was the first head of the first Federal Reserve in back in 1913? One of the major families, Warburg. And yet you mention Warburg and Loeb, and you think, well, weren't they associated with Rothschilds? Yes. Why don't we know any of this? And it has nothing to do with religion. It has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with power. And so right now we are seeing fewer people control more resources and more power for themselves, and more people who have no power. And the irony of it is that you only are lacking in power when you agree that someone else should have control over your lives. So as the majority of Americans who are suffering, when 25 million Americans are couch surfing because they've lost their homes, when they do not protest and they continue to keep what little amount of money they have in a Bank America or Citibank, when people have lost their jobs to outsourcing over the last 30 years, 30 million Americans have lost their jobs because of outsourcing, and yet they'll go to Walmart and buy a product that used to be made by them in the United States and do not see the irony of it. when a person will look at an ad on television to feed their kid junk food, and now the kid gets obese, and the kid gets diabetic, and the kid gets heart disease, and the kid won't outlive the parent, and they don't see the irony in this. And then treating their conditions with drugs that have never been shown to help these conditions, where a placebo is more effective or as effective as any tranquilizer without any of the side effects, and not see the irony in this. And helping the banks get out of trouble and not having to pay any fees or problems on a personal level, and using corporate shields to indemnify people from otherwise being held responsible for crimes against humanity. When you create Vioxx, a painkiller, and 60,000 Americans die, and not a single person's reputation is tarnished. No one goes to jail. No one's even called a bad person. No one's called immoral or unethical. Instead, people reinvest in the company because it paid a $5.85 billion fine and now can get back to business of creating more diseases that don't exist to sell more drugs that people shouldn't have. Where is the irony of all this? And then we look with trepidation at Greece because, my God, people are in the streets. Are these radicals? Are these bad people? Are these people we would never want in America? Who are these people? We'll never know. We will know, those of us who are progressives, because we're everywhere. But we, the people, will not know because we don't want to be bothered with that. We want to know about Dancing with the Stars and the Survivor and the latest Harry Potter film, or who's getting married or who's getting divorced. That trivia entertains us. Do you know that last week this program was heard by more Americans downloading it than any other radio program in America? Are you aware of that, Jasmine?
Sounds good. Sounds like some progress.
Well, 120,000 Americans downloaded last Monday night 7 o'clock show. Those are unique listeners. Do you know that that's more than all the listeners to WBAI in New York 24/7 and all the listeners at KPFK in Los Angeles 24/7 combined? One single show. Now, that can tell you one of two things. A, there's an awful lot of people who no longer want to be distracted by trivia and want to look at real issues from a real point of view. But it also shows you how failed the left and the right are in addressing authentic needs and solutions for people. The program directors at these stations are clueless, and they're not going to change. They're the problem, not the solution. Their audiences are the problem, not the solution. They identify themselves as ramrod, rigid ideologues instead of having the independence and flexibility to see the truth and work on it. And that's what we're about. And no, don't move yet. There's an awful lot of good that we can do. Jasmine, if you do the following, you will have made a major difference. Take all your money out of any commercial bank and put it into a small savings loan that is not engaged in credit default swaps and derivative positions, that is really just a savings loan, or better still, a credit union. And there are about 80 million members of credit unions in the United States. These are owned by their members. And then don't buy in any major retail outlet again. Only shop in organic markets. Don't shop in Whole Foods. Do the little things. Share rides. Rent out space to other people who could use that space so that you're helping another human being. Recycle. Spend the weekend, if you can, at least one day of the weekend, as a big sister for the 8 million orphan children in the United States. Spend time in a soup kitchen. By doing these small things, we make a difference. And when enough of us do it, we make a big difference. So the future could be ours, but not before we go through some major crisis. And we will go through some crisis. And thank you very much for calling in, Jasmine, from Michigan. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Jim from New Jersey. Jim, you're on the air.
Hi, Gary. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Great. Good to be on with you. First, kudos to Colonel... Hello?
Yes, I'm listening.
Kudos to Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson for his testimony. I think the thing that really scares me the most is that I'm not even the least bit surprised or shocked by this. And my question to you is, do you think that anyone in the administration will be held accountable?
No, they can't be. Once again, go back to the power structure. Barack Obama is just an educated, elegant speaker who, like Bill Clinton, who was elegant, down home, hound dog eyes, who seduced a nation and aligned himself with the powerful Democrats who were corporate Democrats and betrayed the working class and work and the unions with NAFTA, GATT, the World Trade Organization. But he's not the problem. Barack Obama's not the problem, nor is Speaker Boehner. The problem are the people behind the scenes, the Koch brothers on one side, for example, and George Soros on the other. And the big families who can buy and sell the Koch brothers multiple times over. You're dealing with the Rothschilds that are in the trillion-dollar equity class, meaning they own so much in banks and corporations. And last week, you should really re-listen to the show if you didn't, I showed you all the assets of the financial companies, the insurance companies, the manufacturing companies that just two families own, the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers.
I charted that hierarchy as best I could.
Okay. You're dealing in over $1 trillion. So billions are chump change to these people. But more importantly, they've institutionalized their power. They have think tanks, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberg Group. These are fronts. From these come the people who will go on television, on the on NPR and other programs, and act as experts. But they're experts on maintaining the status quo. We're engineering the nature of the conflict. But you will not hear progressives who are non-aligned with these special interests ever. Chris Hedges and others, Gerald Salanta, you won't hear. So that's why we have to pay attention to the Colonel Wilkersons. No one will be held accountable in the Bush administration at this time. Not a single person. No one would be held accountable in the Clinton administration for all that went wrong. And no one will be held accountable in the Obama administration. It will take maybe 6 to 7 years before the independents get together, become one force to make major changes, and then start making this an issue of bringing all these people. Because remember, there's no statute of limitations on the crimes they've committed. If you've committed a crime against humanity, there is no statute of limitations. And there are venues in the world where you can bring these people to justice. By the way, as I mentioned today, it took 40 years, but just today, two of the people who killed 20,000 people were sentenced to life in prison. So we have to be aware that the future, the past is theirs, the future is not. Jim, thank you for sharing your points of view. And before I take another call, let me give another commentary. This is from James Ridgway. Has America become a nation of psychotics? You would certainly think so based upon the explosion in the use of antipsychotic medications. Just last year, over $14 billion in sales. Antipsychotics became the single top-selling therapeutic class of prescription drugs in the United States, surpassing drugs used to treat high cholesterol and acid reflux. Once upon a time, antipsychotics were reserved for a relatively small number of patients with hardcore psychiatric diagnosis, primarily schizophrenia and bipolar disorder, to treat such symptoms as delusions and hallucinations or formal thought disorder. Today, it seems everybody is taking antipsychotics. Parents are told that their unruly kids are in fact bipolar and in need of antipsychotics, while older people with dementia are dosed in large numbers with drugs once reserved largely for schizophrenics. Americans with symptoms ranging from chronic depression to anxiety to insomnia are now being prescribed antipsychotics at rates that seem to indicate a national mass psychosis. It is anything but a coincidence that the explosion in antipsychotics use coincides with the pharmaceutical industry's development of a new class of medications known as atypical antipsychotics, beginning with Zyprexa and Risperdal, and Seroquel in the 1990s, followed by others. These drugs were touted as being more effective than older antipsychotics, like Haldol or Thorazine. More importantly, they lack the most serious side effects of the older drugs, in particular the tremors and the other motor control problems. The atypical antipsychotics were the bright new stars in the pharmaceutical industry's roster of psychotropic drugs. Very expensive, patented medications that made people feel and behave better without any shaking or drooling. Sales grew steadily until Seroquel and Abilify numbered fifth and sixth in annual drug sales, and prescriptions written for the top three atypical antipsychotics totaled 20 million. Suddenly, antipsychotics weren't just for psychotics anymore. By now, just about everyone knows how the drug industry works to influence the minds of American doctors, applying with gifts and junkets and ego-tripping awards and research funding in exchange for endorsing or prescribing the latest, most lucrative drugs. Psychiatrists are particularly targeted by Big Pharma because psychiatric diagnoses are so subjective. And a shrink can't give you a blood test or an MRI to figure out precisely what's wrong with you. So it's often a case of diagnosing by prescription, and that's what they do. As the researchers in one study the drug industry influenced put it, the lack of biological testing for mental disorders renders psychiatry especially vulnerable to industry influence. And for this reason, they argue, it's particularly important that the guidelines for diagnosing and treating mental illness be compiled on the basis of objective review of the scientific evidence. The trouble is there is no objective review of the scientific evidence. I had Marcia Angel, a former editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, on my program, and she's a leading critic of the Big Pharma, and she puts it bluntly, quote, psychiatrists are in the pocket of industry. She pointed out that most of the diagnostic and statistical manual mental disorders, the Bible mental health clinicians, has ties to the drug industry. Likewise, a recent study showed that 18 out of 20 of the psychiatrists who wrote the American Psychiatric Association's most recent clinical guidelines for treating depression and bipolar disorder and schizophrenia were getting a ton of money from drug companies selling, you guessed it, anti-bipolar and depression and schizophrenia medication. So we're turning people into zombies. In conclusion, a growing number of health professionals have come to think these drugs are not really as effective as older, less expensive medications, which they have replaced, that they themselves produce side effects that cause other sorts of diseases like diabetes and plunge the patient into deeper, gloomier war of emotions. Along with stories of success come enormous reports of people who are virtual zombies. As it turns out, the atypical antipsychotics may not even be the best choice for people with genuine, undisputed psychoses. Your thoughts? We're a drugged-out nation. People are being exploited. They're making up illnesses like social anxiety disorder that does not exist. In fact, almost all of the disorders don't exist. There's no test to determine you have it. Life has its ups and downs. We are all faced with a myriad of crises and stresses and changes and challenges. Sometimes we have no choice. We are pushed, screaming and kicking into a new phase of life. We no longer have the long-term security and guarantees of job and relationships, things that we thought were an immutable part of our future, like our homes being a sanctuary and a sanctity for our being. Now we are losing those homes. 30 million Americans are couch surfing. So is it any wonder that some people are having some emotional swings? And now anything you do can be called a mental disorder. Final thoughts from you. Give us a call. I'd like to hear what you have to think about over-medicating Americans, why the Surgeon General is not going to help you, the President isn't going to help you, no one in Congress is going to help you. No one at the National Institute of Mental Health is going to help you. In fact, no one's going to help you. And the federal, state, local levels, they're all just going to go ahead and, just like a bunch of zombies, stamp it approved, approved, approved. Approve the drug, approve the diagnosis, approve the treatment. And so we have become a nation that should be at birth labeled potential convict, potential mental case, put the person in a prison, but a mental health prison. Start them early. Get them off breast milk. Get them on Paxil, Prozac. get them in a private prison, so therefore the prison industrial complex can make its money. Get them fed only institutional fast food, McDonald's, Kentucky Fried Chicken. Make sure that that's the only food they eat. And then make sure that they get diagnosed as they grow up at different stages. First ADD and ADHD, maybe autism. Give them every vaccine you could ever imagine. We become nothing more than a comatose patient being manipulated for money. Your thoughts, 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to take your calls now to round out our show. Now, on my next hour, not today, but next week, I will continue with commentaries, The Wrong Kind of Green. And while I'm giving this commentary, I will also post up on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. When I was this year, I was invited to be the keynote speaker on Earth Day at the UN. And you will see my statement. I had a choice. The room was standing room only, mainly of people from environmental organizations and UN representatives. And I could say how nice everything was happening and we were greening and glad to have you here. Or I could tell the truth. Well, I opted for the truth. Look at the stunned silence in their eyes. The heads of the major green organizations. And then look what happened at the end of this talk. How I talked about how our organizations have been compromised with money. Then spying for dollars. The military contractors and security firms reach huge profits. As the defense budget soars, billions, hundreds of billions of dollars are channeled offshore to avoid paying taxes. You never heard about this. This I know. Also, I'll be doing the 700 military bases in Afghanistan. You didn't know there were 700 military bases in Afghanistan? Black sites? Yeah, they are, and we're paying for it. Why do we need this? We don't, but the people who are in power do. And also, is Obama bringing too much religion to the White House? Think so, and we'll talk about that. Oh, by the way, good news here. When I heard about that woman who had been given a citation and possibly 90 days in jail because she wanted to plant some vegetables in her front garden, in her lawn, I offered to pay for the best attorney in the state and to fight this and not to settle it. And this was Julie Bass. Well, turns out the city of Oak Park dropped the charge against her. Good. I would have liked to have seen that to have gone to a hearing. Tim from New Jersey, your final thoughts here, and then we've got Caribbean Spy Show starting tonight.
Yay.
You won't want to miss it. By the way, this Caribbean Spy Show, it's a long program, 3 hours, and we're going to take a serious look at every country in the Caribbean and hear their politics, their music program for the Caribbean. You won't want to miss that. Tim, go ahead, please. You're on the air, and you're from New Jersey.
Hi, Gary. It's good to hear your show again.
Thank you.
As always. Some years ago, I would say about 25 years ago, the fellow who's a director at a microbiotic center gave a talk, a guy named Murray Snyder down in Baltimore, and he said that he thought the next war wasn't going to be really anything having to do with military theaters and conflicts. It was more so going to be a war of images and ideas that was going to be forced upon everyone through controlling the media, manipulating people into buying the things that they want them to buy, keeping stranglehold on businesses and making only the things that they want available to be available to everyone on a basis where someone's going to work and they need something to eat and they have to stop somewhere along the way and what's available to them.
Well, that's what we've been doing for some time. Mm-hmm. That's not future. That's past and present.
Right.
Virtually everything most people know today, they know by getting the information, which is nothing more than propaganda, from the web or websites.
Mm-hmm.
Many of these websites do tell the truth, but there's no way of making them accountable. There's no scholarship. And as a result, you don't know who they are, what their real purposes are, their agenda. And we just kind of take a lot of this at face value. The mainstream media, which is the official media, gives us official propaganda, official lies. They said officially there was weapons of mass destruction. They were wrong. They said that the 9/11 Commission report was authentic and unbiased and accurate. They were wrong.
According to the experts, the official report is.
They said that women could smoke cigarettes in the 1930s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, and it would soothe their throat. They were wrong. Almost everything that the mainstream official organizations and their spokespersons tell us is wrong about everything.
It is reminiscent of the Nazi propaganda campaigns, isn't it?
Well, it's don't use the word Nazi. Just simply say it is reminiscent of virtually all of the different types of people who want to manipulate our thoughts in a particular way, because then you could then you've made it a political by definition,
right,
and,
right.
And it's not political. It is social control.
Right.
It's how do you control people to get them to believe you, trust you, give you the power to make decisions for them,
and influence their beliefs.
That's correct, and that's what they've done. That's why people will line up to give their child a shot, a vaccine, 30 shots, without questioning, do you have the science on your side to show you the safety and efficacy of this particular series of shots for my particular child? And the answer is zero. They have absolutely no confidence that if they have that, yet they give you absolute belief that they are correct. Then if that's the case, say, okay, you wouldn't mind then signing a legal release that if my child is hurt, you will personally pay for it. Then if this doctor, nurse, or school believes that they are completely safe and effective for that given child, then they shouldn't have any problem giving it.
But that's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. It just shows you that don't trust anything official. They can't do anything but lie.
You know, something you mentioned recently about that arrangement with the teen screen and that young lady that was hauled off because she was kept her room in order and didn't like to be engaged.
That's correct. She was told
people.
Yeah, the state had the
but
right.
When I was
to
a teenager, that was someone who was given commendations and honored.
But you understand, when you were a teenager, no one had a drug that they wanted to sell to treat that condition.
That's true. I think that's an abomination what they're doing to the young people.
Well, they are, but remember, the young people are manipulating themselves as much as any of the adults and institutions are manipulating them as well. All right? Thanks a lot. Nice to speak with you.
Okay.
One last quick one from Rochelle from Bronx. Rochelle, last thought, please.
I went to a psychiatrist. I had a nervous breakdown in 1977. In one of the first sessions, I fell asleep, and he hypnotized me. And I took medication briefly, but about a year later, he manipulated me into a sexual relationship with him. He was a sexaholic.
Rochelle, there is no such thing as a sexaholic. That's another artificial diagnosis. Sexual abuse by psychiatrist is rampant. And it is one of but it's only one of the many egregious crimes that psychiatry has done in the name of helping patients. And unfortunately, they have the law on their side. Try to fight a psychiatrist in court who's institutionalized you, as many people have been institutionalized and given electroconvulsive therapy, which destroys their brain, creating grand mal seizures. The court almost always sides with the psychiatrist. Come out of a mental institution and say that you were beaten or sexually abused, and see how few people within our legal system are interested in your case. That will be for another program. We're out of time. I thank you all for taking your time to listen to this program every week, Progressive Commentaries, bringing you insights and ideas that are not discussed in the mainstream media, but are still relevant and important Have a nice day, everyone.